So some of you might be familiar with the show Queer Eye on Netflix. For those, I'm looking back at the Pearsons in the back and they all know. For those that are not, Queer Eye is, it's kind of a makeover show. They've really been going about and changing people's lives. It's five gay gentlemen that focus on hair and culture and lifestyle and clothing and ultimately about self-care. And the most recent season, season four, just came out on Netflix on Friday. And I was watching the very first episode. It features Kathy Dooley, a music teacher, director. She takes care of all of the district's choirs, bands, orchestras, does theater, runs the theater program. She is so busy with school, she is the first person in and the last person out at night, sometimes even not getting out until midnight. She admitted on the show that she buys clothes on the shopping network, on TV, and still had a mullet hairstyle, the same hairstyle since the 80s. She hadn't touched her hair. They actually showed pictures from the different decades, and it looked exactly the same. Her life, hers and her husband's lives, who she was married, and her husband was also a teacher in the school with no children, their lives centered around their students. But so much so that her personal well-being has suffered, though she didn't want to admit it. She had an imbalance in her life. When she sits down with Karamo, who is the culture expert, the psychologist that sits down and helps us be vulnerable, she admitted that taking time for herself was hard, to the point that she had skipped over chapter me. She'd skipped over herself entirely to pour herself into her students. It may be easy to recognize ourselves in Mrs. Dooley, or maybe we know someone like her who has to constantly be busy. Our society is a culture of hectic schedules and we value productivity. We associate busyness with importance. We define success and successful people by how busy somebody is, how much they've accomplished in the smallest amount of time. When we live a life like this, our day-to-day life consists of pressures, anxieties, distractions, and a feeling of being pulled in every which way direction. We find success and feel secure and get satisfaction from marking off to-do lists, getting one more thing done. And when the list is done, it's exciting to start a whole new list. This idea of trying to balance in life, balance our lives between serving and self-care, is not a new battle. As we see in our scripture today from Luke, Mary is listening. Martha is running around with anxiety, trying to be the perfect hostess. Unfortunately, this story has been made into a conflict story, both through church history and society. We've made it out to be Mary versus Martha. We've made it into an either-or situation. Either we have to be silent and introspective, or we have to value being hospitable and doing the wifely duty. Historically, society has used this story to pit women versus women. Because these two ladies are women, we have unfortunately let the narrative dichotomy of the story Work or sit. Be busy or be still. Become the functional way in how we understand and characterize not only Mary and Martha, but so many women throughout history and still today. But what if we change the story? We take away the element of the women and roles and we change it to two brothers. The story of Mary and Martha becomes not an either or, but a much larger story, a message from Jesus. It removes away cultural assumptions and it allows us to focus on the context and circumstance of the story within the text and the context of Jesus' life and even those who are listening to Luke. This story of Mary and Martha follows directly after the parable of the Samaritan. After the story of the lawyer, where we have been told that hospitality and is important to sharing and taking care of our neighbor, to go and do likewise. Our neighbor has been defined as everyone and all. And so, by that standard, Martha is doing everything right. Unfortunately, our lectionary in splitting these two stories up does us all a disservice because really it is a both-and situation, and the story of the Samaritan and today's story of Mary and Martha work together. The lawyer says in our story and scripture from last week that the two most important laws are to love our neighbor as ourselves and to love God. Last week, we talked all about how to love your neighbor. And so this week, Scripture reminds us how to love God through listening and honoring what God has to say in our lives. This text is not just between, is not an either or. It is not a dichotomy of contemplative listener versus the dutiful activist. But rather, it is about doing what is needed in the moment. Sometimes we need to act. We need to share. We need to love our neighbor, like we learned last week. Sometimes we need to listen to God, like Mary does. So often in pitting Mary versus Martha, we have focused on the idea that Jesus has condemned Martha, told her she's done the wrong thing, when in actuality, Jesus never tells Martha not to do what she is doing. He does not condemn her for her actions, because we know this because we have seen Jesus actually condemn others for their lack of hospitality. And those words are not used in the original Greek. The words that are used are compassion. Jesus has compassion for Martha and the decisions that she is making in this moment. Jesus is inviting Martha, not condemning. He's asking her to be in the moment, prioritize, to focus on God, not on all the anxieties of doing all the work. Because it's not just Jesus in this moment. If we look back at Scripture from last week, Jesus' entourage involved almost 70 other people. That's a lot of stress. And I'm an extrovert. That's a lot of people. Jesus is inviting Martha to be in the moment. As Fred Craddock, a noted disciples pastor and interpreter, says in the interpretation series commentary, if we censure Martha too harshly, She may abandon serving altogether. And if we commend Mary too profusely, she may sit there forever. There is a time to go and do. There is a time to listen and reflect. Knowing which and when is a matter of spiritual discernment. Jesus is inviting Martha and us to create balance, to maintain balance in our lives. This is not a listen versus act situation, but rather a both and. When we use the words both and, we change it from a conflict to a reconciliation, to a we can work these two things together. Jesus is not condemning hospitality. Jesus just told us we are to go and do likewise, to love our neighbor. When we look at Mary, though, what Mary is doing in that moment, Jesus is not only inviting Martha, but praising Mary for having the foresight, for recognizing the need to listen. Both women in this story are important. Both women have power. Both break expectations. They're the women of the household. There is no men. There are no men leading this household. It's Mary and Martha. Mary sitting at the rabbi's feet is a big deal. Both women are breaking expectations and challenging social expectations. Both deserve and receive attention from Jesus. Silence, listening to God, can be scary. I will be the first to admit it. Sometimes it's easier to ignore God, to sing and worship and use words, because in the silence, when we start to listen to God, we also realize that it requires vulnerability. Silence, focusing on others, means that we have to break out of our comfort zone. It makes us uncomfortable and awkward. But silence can be powerful. It can be calming. It can give us a chance to let everything go and feel God's presence. It can be that moment when we let go of all of our stress and anxiety and allow ourselves to truly feel our emotions, to feel God's presence. Silence allows us to be vulnerable. And while vulnerability can be scary, it can also be relief. It can give us a chance to lament, to grieve. When we listen to God and balance that with hospitality, we start to be the church. When we look at a church maybe that doesn't have the balance, that just has hospitality, we see a church that serves individuals' purposes. Power is more important than God's word. We let anxieties and worries dominate. We become distracted by the details. As Cynthia Jarvis says in Feasting of the Word commentary, a church that has been led to be worried and distracted by many things inevitably will be a community that dwells in the shallows of frantic potlucks, anxious stewardship campaigns, and events designed simply to perpetuate the institution. Decisions will be made in meetings without a hint of God's reign. Food and drink will appear at the table without Christ being recognized in the breaking of the bread. Social issues may be addressed, but the gospel is missed in acts that partake of politics as usual. A church that just focuses on hospitality becomes a church that does service for service's sake and misses the spirit that brings hope and joy. On the other side, there are also churches that focus on listening. They focus on the message and individuals. Sometimes they have a feeling of, we got it right. We understand what's being said. Like the lawyer from last week, they want to limit their definition of labor, of neighbor. They forget that they need to go and do likewise in the community. When we look at the churches that are dying and closing their doors, we see churches that have forgotten how to balance hospitality and listening to God's word. Even those churches in the UCC that claim to be listening to a still speaking God and doing the work of the still speaking God, sometimes we forget to listen. We forget to discern how the church must change and grow as God's will for the world changes and grows. Churches that are thriving have found balance. They're asking the questions, why are we doing these activities? What is God asking us to do in these missions? They ask themselves, is God calling us to do this, or are we doing it because it suits our purpose? Another important part of thriving churches that have found balance is community. Balance requires community. Balance requires relationship. God, in asking us to love our neighbor and to love God, God is calling us to be in relationship. We remind one another to both listen and serve. We help one another to discern whether we need to be listening, whether we need to be serving. We help one another to discern what God is calling us to do. And we stand by one another when we are grieving, when things don't work out. We pick one another up and keep on moving. We can't all be Marys or Marthas. We need space for both. We need the Marys who are listening to God and reading scripture and feeling the Spirit and looking for new opportunities to serve, to be present. And we need the Marthas who are great at getting the work done, but sometimes need to be reminded to let God in, to let the Spirit do the work. Hospitality and listening together, balancing these two, means creating safe spaces, for diverse and oppressed voices to speak, to share their stories and their needs, to be listened to help them and let them speak. Hospitality and listening together means all, truly means all. Not just saying, oh, you're welcome here, but we're going to dictate what is the proper way to act, the proper way to dress. Hospitality and listening, going together in community, being church, is being called to both hear and do. The beauty of the Queer Eye episode was that throughout the episode, the Fab Five, the five gentlemen, and her Kathy's community were constantly surrounding her and supporting her and reminding her that if she didn't find balance, if she didn't take time out for herself, the likelihood of health issues, emotional issues, burnout was much higher. Whereas if she took care of herself, she took time for herself, found balance in her life, accepted that it's okay to take care of ourselves once in a while. When we do this, we are then provided with an even larger opportunity to be around to help others. If we're constantly focusing on listening or we're constantly focusing on acting, we're only giving 50% of ourselves. We want to give 100%. In today's reading, Jesus invites Martha and us today to turn away from the chores and the anxieties and the pressures. Our reading ends with Martha and Mary without knowing what they actually did. But the good news is that we do know, no matter what, Jesus invites all of us to sit and rest in his presence, to hear grace and truth, to know that no matter what, we are loved as children of God and called to be in relationship with one another. May it be so. Amen.